When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
You're listening to Around the Dial, your one-stop shop for sports talk's best moments every day. Here's your host, CBS Sports Radio's Damon Amendolara.
Welcome inside Around the Dial, the best of your sports talk for Thursday, May the 30th. I'm your host, DA. It's been a long time since we saw the Golden State Warriors on the floor. In fact, I feel like it was last year. We're finally back where Golden State's going to be on the court playing basketball. For real. Game one of the NBA Finals tonight. And it'll be in Toronto where you know who is going to be courtside. Hip-hop mogul Drake, who has apparently been reprimanded by the NBA and Adam Silver's office. So Drake certainly isn't the first celebrity fan to get into it with opponents and become part of the story. Who are his predecessors? Well, Brian Scalabrine has dealt with a few of them. Here's the former Celtic and Radio.com sports insider on Andy and Randy, a 92.9 The Game in Atlanta.
Do you ever have to deal with anybody on the sidelines behaving in a way that might have been slightly distracting during a game?
Oh, sure. Like, so one of my best games ever was Game 5 in Detroit. And Detroit had, I think, Kid Rock was in his prime. And I remember Kid Rock kind of talking smack as I hit a shot going up and down the sideline. I thought it was great. I'm assuming, like, the Warriors will think it's great. The Warriors are handling this the right way. You know who didn't handle it the right way? The Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
Like, for Mike Budenholzer to bring up Drake, he should be bringing up Kawhi Leonard and the things that are going on with his team. So I think the Warriors have the right mentality. Like Klay Thompson the other at Media Day, he said, love Drake's music, hate him as a fan. And that's what we all want. Like, I love Spike Lee's movies, and I hated him as a Knicks fan. Mm-hmm. But it was good to like, stick it to Spike Lee. Like, Reggie Miller sort of allowed that to happen. Like, in the past, we've had all kinds of historic performances between great player a la Jordan, Reggie Miller, and Spike Lee. Now it's great player, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Drake. So I like the fact that Drake is a part of the show. It makes it fun to watch. The TV does a good job of bringing it to light. It's a sidebar story. But I think the Warriors, who have been in big games before, are going to treat it like a sidebar story. They're not going to be distracted by Drake, maybe like Milwaukee was.
When you look at Kawhi Leonard, when they put him on Giannis last series, you saw how, you know, his percentage and shooting percentage, everything dipped a little bit right now. When you see look at this game, who do you look at to as the primary guy that Kawhi Leonard would defend?
Yeah, I mean, if Kevin Durant was playing, there'd be no question that's who he would guard, and it would be awesome for every NBA fan in the world to see this ridiculous offensive player play against this ridiculous two-way player. But if Kawhi Leonard, and it's funny, at Media Day, everyone was talking about Kawhi Leonard's defense. I don't know if I've ever been in a series where, like, just think, I've We played against the Lakers, and it was how to stop Shaq, how to stop Kobe. In the finals, we played against the San Antonio Spurs, you know, how to slow down Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and all that. I've never heard a team talk about how much a guy's defensive abilities are going to impact the series. So my guess is, like, Steve Kerr is great, and I think the Warriors have the right mindset. Because if Kawhi Leonard was guarding me, all I would do is pass the ball. Right? So I would be like, there's no way I'm trying to challenge him like Chris Middleton did, like Giannis did. So I really believe that they're going to dance around Kawhi Leonard. I think they're going to look at Kawhi Leonard and move the ball. Like, if Kawhi Leonard's guarding Steph Curry 35 feet from the basket, I could see Draymond Green setting the screen. And if Kawhi Leonard fights through that screen and he's on Steph Curry, I could see him moving the ball. I think initially, because I think he will initially guard Draymond, because I almost look at Draymond as a guy, like, if you could slow him down, you have a chance to slow the rest of the guys down, because so much of the offense is running through him. So I guess he'll guard Draymond, but, like, for the Warriors, if you're not switching or if you're in rotation and you're trying to keep a certain matchup, they'll pick you apart. So Kawhi Leonard will guard on one possession. This, no joke, he'll guard Steph Curry, and then he'll switch off on Draymond and switch off onto Klay Thompson. And that's just the way that you have to be able to defend if you're going to beat the Warriors. So I know that the Warriors were talking about his defense. My guess is they'll continue to move the ball to get Kawhi Leonard off of the ball in the defensive end by the simple amount of how much they were talking about it.
You know, all these guys are buffoons. All these celebrities that want to be in the middle of the action, they are so entitled because they're rich, they're famous, they're wealthy, and everybody's pulling at them all the time to think that, oh, I'm in the middle of this too. I can perform too. I should be right there rubbing my coach's shoulders or barking at the players or getting involved with people on the floor. No, stay away. You're not part of this. Let the people paid to do what they're due do it. And you stay out of it, Drake and Kid Rock and Spike Lee and Jack Nicholson and the rest of you guys. Stay away. Golden State goes into its fifth consecutive NBA Finals, something that Kobe and Shaq's Lakers never did, something that LeBron has never done with the Cavaliers or the Heat, something that Magic and Larry never did, something that Michael never did. You got to go back to the 1960s Boston Celtics for a team that went to five straight NBA Finals. Are we dealing with a Warriors fatigue? Here's NBA insider Howard Beck on the Ken Carmen Show, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland.
Howard, I've been screamed at throughout the course of the show by Cavs fans. They don't want to hear about the NBA Finals. They don't want to have anything to do with Golden State Warriors winning yet again. So Howard of the Bleacher Report and the Full 48 podcast joins us now on the hotline. Are you sensing any fatigue, Warrior fatigue around the country like it is here in Cleveland?
I mean, it's hard to tell, right? Like, it's unless it's like ESPN doing its Sports Nation poll or something, or like it's just a feel thing. You can get on Twitter, which is kind of probably not the most scientific gauge of the world or the country. You can, I mean, to the extent that I have NBA conversations with people on Twitter and in real life, is there a Warrior fatigue that's been building over the last couple of years, and especially since Durant went there? I think that's fair to say, but it's a hard thing to measure, right? It's just... There's no objective measurement for that. There's no Gallup poll for the NBA, although I often wish there were, so we could assess things like this, because it's a curiosity. But if I had to guess, if I had to just kind of conclude based on my own experiences, I think people are kind of tired of them a little bit. At the same time, this recent stretch, the last couple of weeks, where Durant's been out, and it's the old Warriors where, remember, and this may not be the case in Cleveland, and that's fine, but everywhere else, the Warriors were kind of like this, you know, lovable, happy-go-lucky team that just happened into a finals in Steve Kerr's first year there, and nobody saw it coming. They weren't considered some, you know, evil empire or powerhouse. They had been an okay team under Mark Jackson, but they weren't a contender. And suddenly they were a champion, and the way they played and the joy they played with, the personality of the team, it was all fun, and everybody loved them. Right up until the point where Durant arrived, and then I think pretty much everybody turned on them aside from Warrior fans.
What's closer to the truth? The Raptors have a chance to beat the Golden State Warriors in the finals, or people want the Raptors to have a chance to beat the Golden State Warriors in the finals?
I think the latter. I mean, It's not that they don't have a chance. Of course they have a chance. Kawhi Leonard might be the best player in this series heading in, especially with Durant, on the shelf or at least working his way back. I think Kawhi Leonard probably is the best player heading into this series. They've definitely got a chance, and they've got home court advantage. And so, while I lean Warriors on this series, I don't think anybody should be stunned if Toronto wins it. That said, the way you frame the question, I definitely think that, there's just a ton of people out there who would love to see it happen, and that's a stronger sensation than the probably the actual chances of it happening, even though, as I say, it's reasonable that it could happen.
Well, of course we're dealing with Warriors fatigue. Of course. Yeah, there's going to be some kids that love to rock Steph Curry jerseys. And yeah, the people in the Bay Area want to see the Warriors there, but outside of the Bay Area, everybody is rooting against Golden State. Why? Because of fatigue. I don't think this is all, it needs to be all that scientific. We are tired of Golden State. We're tired of the inevitability of them winning a championship. We want to see anybody else, and that's why America, writ large, is rooting for the Raptors. I guarantee you that. One thing that you have to be impressed by, even if you hate the Golden State Warriors, though, is Steph Curry's ability to go from Robin to Batman. When Kevin Durant was the team scorer, the leading guy, the alpha male in terms of the offense on the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry kind of seamlessly wove into the fabric. But now he has to be everything, at least far more than he was with KD healthy because KD's been out. And so how impressive is that transition? Steve Kerr joined the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco.
Is there anybody you can think of historically who can flow back and forth as seamlessly between clear lead dog, can get any bucket you want for you, and then effectively melding in as almost a secondary option in some ways?
That's a good question. There aren't many guys who are capable of doing that. Ironically, I think Clay at times can do that. He's perfectly comfortable, sitting back if other guys are rolling, and then when you absolutely have to have them, Game 6 in Oklahoma City a couple of years ago, he lights it up and saves our season. So, we're lucky. We've got several players, Kevin included, who can take on a lead role or happily take a step back when their teammates are playing well. So it's one of the things that makes our team unique.
Steve, when Ray and I were over in the facility last week talking to you about Draymond Green and, all the defensive compliments, what was true, what was hyperbole, you said that his versatility really does make him one of the most unbelievable, maybe the best defender in NBA history, 1 through 5. If Draymond is first in line, how far is Kawhi in his rearview mirror?
Oh, that's a good question.
Two today. We're on fire.
We may have peaked already.
Yeah. What is that, two in a row?
Two in a row.
Oh, wow.
It's a streak. We're going to go for a three-peat in a second.
Okay, three. Kawhi is obviously I'm biased, and I'm around Draymond every day, and I see him every day. I haven't seen as much of Kawhi, but I do know the versatility allows him to guard multiple positions, and that's really what we're talking about when you want to mention the best defenders in the history of the game. It's the guys who can guard anybody out there, and Kawhi is strong enough to guard a lot of bigs, and he's quick enough to guard point guards on the perimeter and everything in between. So yeah, he's a fantastic defender.
There was an awful lot of speculation that when you were out with dinner with Greg Popovich the other night, that he was giving you all the goods that you'd need to defend Kawhi. And Ray was the first to say that there's no way that there's any truth to that because Greg Popovich defends his dinner time as sacrosanct and there will be no business discussed. Is that true?
That's actually very true. He went to City Lights bookstore that day. My wife Margot was with me, and Pop bought us each several books, and most of the conversation at dinner was about the books that he purchased and why.
Can you recommend a book?
So, yes, he bought me a book by Oliver Sacks, who was a renowned doctor slash writer. I think he may have written for the New York Times. And he wrote a book that is basically a series of essays on his career and his life and his career. And it's fantastic. And I've brought it with me, and I've been enjoying it on the trip. And but modern life's weird, isn't it? I mean, you know, we go out and we have a quiet dinner and somebody snaps a photo, and next thing you know, people are speculating that Pop's telling me how to stop Kawhi. So actually he's just recommending an Oliver Sacks book.
if you had brought up basketball to him, how many words would you have gotten out before he told you to shut up?
Maybe three. Yeah.
That really has been one of the most amazing things about Steph Curry's career to this point. I mean, obviously coming out of Davidson and doing what he did, magical moments in March, and then becoming the greatest shooter in NBA history. But how about also swinging between the go-to guy to then, in a bit of a way, a passenger, to now going right back to go-to guy? It's remarkable. And Steph Curry, I don't think, is underrated because he's had two NBA MVPs. He's been a first-team All-NBA player multiple times over. I don't think you could say that he's underrated. But what he's doing right now, switching between passenger and driver, Batman and Robin, really is pretty amazing. Now, knowing that Kevin Durant is going to be a free agent after the season, knowing that Klay Thompson will as well, and knowing that Draymond Green is a free agent in a year from now, is this the end of the Warriors as we know them? Here's CBS Sports' Bill Ryder, who joined Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan in San Diego.
Will this be the last time we get a chance to see this Golden State team as is?
Yeah, I think in KD, it's his own sort of private dude who keeps his own counsel. And I think, like with when he went to Golden State, if there's an unlikely series of events, and the last unlikely series of events was the Thunder collapse 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors, and then the Warriors collapsed with a 3-1 lead against LeBron and the Cavs, right? I think both those things had to happen for KD to go to Golden State. I think something similar crazy has to happen for him to stay. For Klay, I think it's simple. And, you know, there's been some reports through Agent Wojnarowski, who's a great reporter and a trial balloon a lot of times for agents. And I don't think the Warriors are foolish enough to make this mistake, but you never know. Arrogance and success, what Riley called the disease of more, can apply to owners too and GMs. If they go to Klay Thompson on minute one of NBA free agency and say, here's your max deal, we respect you, we love you, we know what you're about, and we're not going to mess around.
Done
Klay
deal.
Thompson's a Warrior for the rest of his life. Yeah. If they get cute, and we've seen this before, right?
Yeah.
Or they think that they're the ones that are, you know, they misjudge Klay's value because they overstate their own, and they try to get cute, I think Klay Thompson might be a Laker next season.
I certainly wouldn't be upset with that, Bill.
You're finally speaking Tony's language. He's begging for any free agent to come to the Lakers. So he would be.
Have you seen the soap opera we have right now?
Oh, I've seen it. I'm trying to read it. I can't follow it at the moment. Talking about these NBA finals, and I mean, you have to pick Golden State if you've been following sports for the last half decade. And I think one of the real problems that Toronto has is, everything we talked about with Kawhi Leonard is true, but he can't guard this many players. Like, he was able to slow Giannis down, and the other guys on Milwaukee, other than I think really Brogdon and Middleton, didn't step up as much as they normally do. But you know other Warriors are going to step up. Whoever he isn't guarding is going to be able to torch Toronto. And that's why this Warrior team is on the precipice, I think, of, you know, you have to name them among the greatest of all time if they win this championship.
I think you're absolutely right. Whoever Kawhi is assigned to, or if he splits minutes, you know, if he even takes on Steph for 10 or 15 minutes a game, he's going to be effective. I'm done doubting Kawhi Leonard, but you're right. I mean, this Raptors backcourt is among the shortest and least athletic defensively that the Warriors have gone up against, and that's advantage Steph or Klay or whoever it is. Draymond Green's averaging twice as many points in the postseason as he did the regular season. He's a triple-double machine. Klay Thompson once scored 40 points in a quarter for a reason. The ball is moving a lot more. It's a different kind of basketball with KD not around, but I think it certainly benefits Draymond, and I think to a larger extent Klay Thompson. I agree with you guys. And I'll add this to why I think it's inevitable the Warriors win this thing. And not to hate on Milwaukee. I love Milwaukee. I think they have a bright future. They had that series in the bag. They were up 2-0. They were on the road in game three. They had an overtime. They had a double overtime. You win that game, that series is over, and Giannis fails to score a single point in that game three overtime or that double overtime. He fouled out with 36 seconds just into that overtime, double overtime. The Warriors don't make that mistake. And they've learned from that series that they lost to the Cavs and they're up 3-1. Toronto's going to have lapses. They're going to have moments where Kawhi can't be on the floor or what you stated happens, right, where there's other guys guarding these dudes. And the Golden State Warriors, unlike the Milwaukee Bucks, having been through the wars, they're not going to halt or pause or misunderstand that even up 2-0, say, you got to put these guys down. I think it'll be a vastly different series as a result.
Look, it better be. I mean, really, it better be the end of the Warriors like this because it's too inevitable. I spoke to Oklahoma City Thunder analyst, 14-year NBA veteran, former NBA champion, and Sirius XM host Antonio Daniels about this morning. And he told me on my show, the Warriors didn't need Kevin Durant. They wanted to take him away from the Thunder, but they didn't need Kevin Durant. And he's absolutely right. This is a guy that's watching 82 games a year courtside, and he knows they didn't need Kevin Durant, so they don't need him anymore either. Let's hope he leaves to open up at least a little bit of a door for the rest of the NBA. On the ice, Game 2, Stanley Cup Final goes to the St. Louis Blues, who win in overtime on the road at TD Garden in Boston to split the series at one game apiece. An overtime goal by Gunny Gunnarsson, a third-line defensive player. What happened to the Bruins after the way that they finished the postseason the last two rounds in dominant fashion, not looking so dominant against St. Louis? Here's Dale and Keefe. Dale Arnold, Rich Keefe on WEEI in Boston.
Look, I didn't think it was going to extend to two straight games, so I certainly don't think it's going to extend to three straight games. I don't want to take credit away from St. Louis, but I also want to put blame where it belongs. And it really does fall on the shoulders of these three guys for a lot of what you're seeing. Too much of this, you know, let's make the extra pass. Let's not put the puck on net.
Very cute.
Yeah, let's when they've had troubles during the season, not that it happens a lot, it's because they get too cute. Marchand especially is guilty of getting too cute at times. Pasternak gets too cute at times with the puck. The Blues were making the Bruins pay for that.
Yeah,
last
the
night.
Roles were reversed from game one. You know, the Bruins only finished the night with 23 shots. This is a game that goes into overtime. This is a game
and you
where
had five power plays.
Five power plays.
And you only had 23 shots.
The wild stat, the most wild stat of the night is they had as many power play shots, I believe it was only three, as St. Louis had shorthanded shots.
Yeah.
That can't happen. Like, that's ridiculous. And the power play has been very good. Again, going into the series, the number one power play
it's
in the postseason.
It's still the number one power play.
It still is. It had a ways to drop down. The first series, it was such a weapon against Toronto. Against Carolina, it was fantastic. Against Columbus, the Blue Jackets did a much better job at killing it off. But you thought, all right, you had five chances in the first game, and you only scored once. And you said, all right, well, maybe now you've gotten to look at what they do, and maybe you're going to have a better way of, you know, attacking it. This game, they score right away. They score, what, 4 or 5 minutes into the game, Charlie Coyle, and you're thinking, here we go. They you know, they're going to, something clicked here on the power play. Nope, not the case. And St. Louis is a team which surprisingly doesn't get penalized that much in the playoffs because watching them play, it's like, how did they not? They're flying around. They have some stupid penalties that they take, like either away from the puck.
Undisciplined
or
at times.
It is. But they're getting away with it because their penalty kill is either the combination of their penalty kill has been good or the Bruins' power play has just been sloppy.
It's amazing because the Bruins have been the ones with a reputation of taking the fight, taking the thunder, taking the power to the opposing team. That the Bruins want to hit and they want to wear you down. And they want to make you tired and fatigued and then take advantage of that. And it was actually the role reversal that the St. Louis Blues did that to the Bruins and seemed to wear down the Bruins, especially in that overtime. St. Louis had the juice. St. Louis had the speed in their skates. St. Louis was on the forecheck constantly. And St. Louis just kept hitting the Bruins. And I think that really did wear down Boston by the end. And then you see the goal that sends St. Louis back home 1-1. That's the first ever win in a Stanley Cup final, and four chances for the Bruins. They were swept their other three appearances, and then, of course, lost game one of this series. So a historic moment, to say the least, for the Blues, and maybe, yeah, a little bit too cute for the Boston Bruins, that they'll have to turn that around in game 3 and 4 heading to Missouri. Finally, on baseball. Crack of the bat, the smell of freshly cut grass, hot dogs, popcorn, beer, and beautiful old-school uniforms. Baseball is filled with some gorgeous throwback uniforms and ones that have just never changed over the years. So what are the best MLB unis? Well, you wouldn't be surprised at number one and number two, but you might be surprised at the list after that. Here's Jamie and Stoney, a 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit.
A lot of people think the Tigers have the best uniform, at least the best hat, best logo, the Old English tee. And I know that that's kind of a Detroit thing, and so it's going to be biased. But they did a Major League Baseball poll where they asked 85 players across the league what were their favorite uniforms, and they were not allowed to pick their current team.
Okay.
So I don't know if you looked at the list or not. Did you look at the list?
I did not look at the list. I want
to. What do you think is it's a,
react
two
to this.
Teams are tied for number one.
I mean the Yankees.
You think the Yankees are tied for first?
Yep. I would assume, yeah. Yep, and after that, gosh, clearly not the Tigers.
Tigers are not in the top 10, and I'm a little bit alarmed by it, but I have a theory as to why that is.
Gosh, the next best?
Man. No, they're tied. They're first. Yankees and another team are tied for first.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the other team that would be tied atop based on what players think. Man, that's tough.
They picked the Dodgers.
Okay. Kind of the dark gray and the blue. Yeah, I could see that.
The blue.
The LA like, on the hat.
The red number on the front underneath the blue Dodgers script. They think that kind of pops.
I think it pops. Is that how they described it?
The red numbers that pop. Okay, I'm reading from the article here. All right. Listen, clown.
Players are leaving comments on their votes. The red really pops on those Dodger jerseys.
Okay. It says the red numbers that pop as if dropped straight from the heart to the left upper abdomen. Hey, I didn't write this. Mitch did. The interlocking LA on the sleeve matching the simple but distinctive blue caps. All these elements combine to make the Dodgers home white somehow shine a little brighter. It's a timeless, trimless look. Baseball's accoutrement answer to the American flag. All right, fine. Braves finish in third with 9 votes. And Braves, I don't know. I mean, it's all right.
I can see that, though.
Mariners finish fourth.
The Mariners, for me, it's just Ken Griffey Jr.
I think that,
like Ken Griffey baseball. Yep. I played that video game back in the day. I've always loved those uniforms. It's a weird connection.
Tigers pitcher Blaine Hardy says, quote, "I've always been a huge fan of the Mariners' colors. They have that unique bluish green that I really love." Interesting. The Cardinals and Diamondbacks are tied for fifth. I think the Diamondbacks' recent transformation is one of the worst I've ever seen. Their current road uniforms, which are like a really dark gray, they're kind of going for like a snakeskin look. Don't want to watch a lot of Diamondbacks baseball, do you?
Not really. No, yeah. I mean, I've seen them. Mm-hmm. I don't mind them. I don't mind the dark gray.
Okay. The Giants, Rockies, Pirates, and Oakland A's are tied for seventh.
I'm surprised the Giants aren't further up.
Really?
Yeah. The off-white,
uniforms.
I do like those. The orange and the black.
I got to say, I have no reason to be a Pirates fan other than I know a couple of people who are Pirates fans, and so I kind of root for them to root for the Pirates.
Well, you're a nice guy.
Well, no, but I mean, the Pirates, they had the greatest team you could have probably assembled, didn't do anything, and then since then, other than a brief blip with McCutcheon and Garrett Cole, they've been dog. I mean, it's been terrible. But I love those uniforms. If I were to ever buy a hat of a team that I had no interest in, I would buy a Pirate hat. I just think it's a cool hat. Just a cool, simple hat.
All right, I can totally get down with the Yankees and Dodgers being number one and number two or tied at the top. I can totally understand that. The pinstripes are classic. The Dodgers home uniforms, absolutely classic. Those two home unis are the best in baseball. I totally agree. Now, the Atlanta Braves or the Seattle Mariners, this is interesting. Them coming in 3 and 4. You know what I think that is? I think that's because most of the players in baseball today grew up in the 90s. And what were two of the hottest teams of the 90s? They were the Braves and the Mariners. And let's even extend that to the 2000s as well. But when you have Ken Griffey Jr. and Randy Johnson and Alex Rodriguez, the Mariners, those uniforms get more attention because you remember it associated with those players.
And the Atlanta Braves, of course, dominant for two decades wearing these uniforms. I like them both, but I don't necessarily know if I would say they're number three and number four in the entire league, but I think that's the nostalgia of these young guys that are in the league right now, ages 20 to 30, or early 30s. I would also say the Diamondbacks being in the top five or top 10 is a disgrace. I mean, really, those things are disgusting. Absolutely gross. But we should give credit to the teams like the Pirates and the Brewers that have gone throwback to their 1970s or 1980s uniforms. I think that's absolutely sweet. That is the best in your sports talk. It's Around the Dial. Tomorrow we'll have game one of the books. Stick around for that, everyone. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to Around the Dial. Subscribe now for the best daily recap in sports talk on radio.com or the radio.com app.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Do you dream of seeing all 30 ballparks? We've got you! For the first time, MLB and T-Mobile offer you a chance to win trips to all 30 stadiums. Yes, all 30. The views, the food, the vibe, the adventure of a lifetime. With experiences you simply need to see to believe. Enter now.
Begin your journey to 30 at MLB.com/journey to 30 sweeps. No purchase necessary. Ends 9/7/2026. Restrictions apply. Food not included. See official rules for details.